Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
All right. We are back. We are back. I've got one more big story I want to do on this same topic. And I can't remember right now. Can't remember the chapter and verse, but God said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yeah. The Lord is risen, and because he is risen, we can have everlasting life through him. Like Jesus, we will rise. But we have to understand that we are in the middle of a spiritual war, the battle between the forces of the Antichrist and the sons and daughters of God. Those are the born-again Christian believers. It is a spiritual war. Yes, there is a political battle royal going on out there that we must join. But underneath everything, it's a spiritual battle, good and evil, right and wrong, God versus Satan, the children of God versus the children of Satan. This is what's going on, and we must start.
Well, we got to fight the fight, and that's Matthew 16:18 that you were saying about, I will build my church on this.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, 16, Matthew 16.
Yeah. Yeah. Some days after I had my head scrambled, I've forgotten more than.
It's okay. It's a lot of verses.
Yeah, I had a lot of damage.
I hear you.
I learned a lot.
That's okay. You know,
still working on it, Randy. But what I was trying to say, this is a serious, serious spiritual battle. We're fighting not only for the heart and soul of America, the future of our children and grandchildren, their physical future on this earth, but we are fighting for their spiritual future, because if we lose this battle, they will be in an ungodly world, a world controlled by the Antichrist system. They will be deceived, lied to, led astray. There is so much at stake. If you love your children, now is the time to come out and join this battle, to run to the battle, because it's not only their physical world that's in danger, it's their spiritual souls that are at stake. This is about as serious as it gets, and here's one example. I've talked over the many, many years, those who have listened to me, there's a group in California called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, you get their name. Now, they dress like nuns, only they sexualize the nun, right?
Yeah.
These are men that look like sexy nuns. This is why they're called Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. It's about as blaspheming as they get. Well, anyway, every year they hold a special thing on Easter Sundays, not Resurrection, they call it Easter Sundays, and this year they had the Hunky Jesus contest on Easter Resurrection morning. Oh, and Foxy Mary, okay? I've looked at some pictures. It is so sickening that if I could, I don't think I'd want to show them to most of you, because some of you would really get upset. The overhyped, sexualized attire, fetish equipment, over extremely large breast type of thing. And this is an annual competition costume in Dolores Park there. Thousands and thousands, and a state lawmaker came. Yep, State Senator Scott Wiener. a Democrat, whose district is there in San Francisco, and he spoke. I want you to hear this. This is a politician. They do this every year. It's such a service to the community. This event every year triggers the right-wing extremists. It triggers them, and you're so beautiful.
That's it.
So let's hear it for triggering the right-wing extremists. But so then a man dressed as Jesus Ken won the hunky Jesus, and on the back of his Ken doll box was a poem with all kinds of biblical references and innuendos. I am Jesus Ken. I can turn water into wine. I can heal your blank so divine, and on, just blasphemy. They had Golden Shower Jesus, Take the Wheel, Trail of Track Jesus. This is about as wicked, evil, sick as it comes.
That's about as bad as Mapplethorpe was in the 80s.
These people want your children. They want to indoctrinate your children. They want young people. You see, the whole homosexual sodomite world loves young. They're the ones pushing to lower the age of consent. They are the ones that are pushing this minor attracted person instead of pedophile.
But you know what the irony of that is, Pastor Joe? And that's that you're right about the young. The problem with that is this. There are virtually no old, and they don't tell the young that you're desired while you're young, you're discarded as you get old. And that's exactly
like
what happens.
So,
I mean,
right?
Obviously their lifespan is, I think it's like 42 or something. It's something very, very low. And it's like the age of 42. And they don't tell these people, or the transgender people either, that as long as you're young and beautiful, fine. But as you age, they don't want you. They don't want to talk about you. I'd like to interject something here that's it's on the positive side. I haven't finished the entire article because it's like 20 pages, and I just found it tonight coming in. There's a group out of Columbus, Ohio called LifeWise, and I did not know that in Ohio there is a law that's sanctioned by the Supreme Court in the 20s that allows for kids in public school to be allowed, as long as they do it off campus, to take part of their school day and go and conduct religious activities. And there are like 30 schools in and around the Columbus area that are doing just that. So the kids get on a bus every day, they go to a church, they sing hymns, they read Bible verses and praises, and and it's all done on school time with the understanding that any kid can go. So if kids don't want to go, they don't have to go. And the kids that do go, and they're saying that they're noticing an increase in the behavior in the kids that go, in their work at school, that it's all on the increase. So there are some things going on. Now, needless to say, it's being challenged by opposition that are saying that, well, they have an unfair advantage because sometimes they get ice cream when they go to church and the kids at school. Well, I'm just telling you, they get ice cream and candy and the kids at school don't get any. And so, you know, my point is that I hope they fight it back with saying all they have to do is get on the bus and go get ice cream.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't want to get on the bus and go get it. So, you know, that should be the end of that. But some judge will sit back there and say, yeah, I agree with you. So we got to stop this. But I'm just saying that's a glimmer of hope and that there are some positive things being done. And they found a way to get around, let's call it the trend today, which is to, you know, you can't mention Jesus. You can't wear a cross or a T-shirt or whatever it is, nothing religious in any level. And it's really kind of sad. I went to also, speaking of that, while we're on that, there's a woman who's 20 years old, who's transgender, had the surgeries, and I went to the National Right to Life Conference the first weekend of March. It was like the 8th and the 9th. And I really wish, and I'm hoping that maybe we can get her on the show, but she tells a very interesting story about how they allowed her to do all these things, how it almost wrecked her life, but she's turned back to Christ. And she really had the answers to what people would say. But the big problem was that her doctors counseled her parents to let her do what she was going to do under the threat of suicide. And I won't go any further than that. Hopefully, you know, further down the road, we can contact. We're trying to contact these people, and maybe we can get her to come on and address the people here and give her story. But I found it very enlightening and very encouraging on what to say back to these people, because that's what they did. Is that the doctors said, well, she might commit suicide, so we got to let her do this. And the sad part is that by age 20, she's had a double mastectomy, and now she realizes that she wants to have a family. So I hope that she can, but I'm just saying that these are the things that, like, nobody brings up, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what we're here. We're called the voice of the Christian resistance.
Right.
We are the what? Watchmen on the
Watchmen
wall.
Watchmen on the wall. That's exactly.
It's like when I told this story, I did not want to have to tell this story about these sisters of perpetual indulgence. It's not a pleasant thing to teach or to tell. I'm sure many of you did not want to hear it, but you need to hear it to understand who your enemy is. You need to understand how serious things are. We're coming toward the end of the sixth dispensation period, the end of the church. The church age is ending. We're getting closer.
But the sad part is, where is the church? We've got so many weak pastors.
Rising up, running to the battle.
That's right.
Fighting the fight, holding the line, not giving up any ground until Christ comes back. And the church is not doing that, is it?
No. As a matter of fact, we've got these 501c3 churches that are actually being paid to conduct all these government programs. But what they've done is that they've compromised their position. Is they become agents of the state instead of, let's call it...
under shepherds for God.
That's exactly right, in allegiance to God. And it's sad.
Under shepherd for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's good news. You brought up that story, and it was perfect lead-in. Here's a story you didn't hear on Fox News, you didn't hear in the major media. Eastern Europe puts Bibles into schools with encouraging results. Now, before I go on, Europe started falling away from Christ way before America did.
Yep.
And it was just a couple of years ago I did a story where less than 2% of all Europe is fundamental Christian. There are some other spatterings of Roman Catholicism, but fundamental Christianity, less than 2% of all Europe, fundamental Christian. Well, so they were going down the toilet before we were. Well, they kind of started finding out things weren't going well. And so they changed. Now, here at home, you remember, once upon a time, that's that old fairy story lead-in, right? This country was openly and proudly professed to be what? A nation under God, a Christian nation.
That's right.
You know? And our children prayed. They read the Bible at home, in school. We had prayer in school, the Bible. We were raised with morals, right?
Right, and if you look at the notes on the Founding Fathers, almost all of them mention God and in a very positive way, in a praising way, and how providence brought us to where we were, and you know, and not the self-made, man-made reality, if you will, of America. That America was an idea from God. It was blessed by God. And think of all the miraculous things that happened, you know, big and small, in the forming of this country, in the advancing of various religions and sects. And I think that was the beauty of America, is God, that this was a nation under God.
It was. And I've got some quotes I'm going to do, but I want to finish this idea here. So we weren't perfect, but we believed in the sovereignty of God and in His Word. Now, we're living today in a nation that denies that heritage, the belief and dependence on God. And it goes back to what? call it back to the pulpit. We have biblical illiteracy, the lack of understanding of God's word in this country. And that is because the pulpits aren't teaching, aren't preaching, and you got too many, what's his name? He's on, waves his Bible around, never opens it. But
oh, Joel Osteen, you're thinking of.
Yeah, Joel Osteen.
Joel Osteen.
Waves the Bible. He's a motivational speaker, and he's always talking about the Bible, but he doesn't quote. He famously, I've done this for 20 years, and I've never talked about sin. That's why he's never had anybody find salvation. If you're not convicted of sin, you don't have a need for a Savior, right?
If you ever listen to him tell his Bible story, whatever he references to, it's never quite like it was in the Bible. It's like there's always something that goes sideways whenever he gives his Bible story.
It's
always.
Lie by omission, you see. He just never really tells the truth.
Right.
Anyway, so that's where we are. We're witnessing children killing children. We're witnessing there are groups of children now committing rape. There are groups of children that are killing other children, beating them, shooting them, knifing them. We are seeing...
Well, yeah, we have an article on that today.
Yeah, we are seeing horrible things that we... Back when I was a child, you never heard of things like this, right?
But that's exactly right. And I'll tell you what else is said. The parents are involved in it.
Yeah, sometimes you have a parent out there fomenting the trouble.
That's doing the cover-up. He might be the orchestrator of the event, whatever it is, but the parents are involved
well, because,
in these
the
things
apple
too.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
That's true.
Some of those old sayings, the reason they hung around for a long time because they were so true. But here we have a Christian Post article talks about this Tristan Abbage, the Hungarian Secretary of State for the Aid of Persecuted Christians and the Hungary Helps Program. And he's been touting his country's quest to implement the social teachings of the Bible at home. And he actually came to the U.S. to discuss the nation's efforts to address religious persecution abroad. And he's talking about this push. There was unsurprising pushback and reluctance from Western governments about his vision, their vision there. He said they claim that working together with faith communities is against the, quote, principles of impartiality in humanitarian assistance. I kind of think that's a kind of a misunderstanding of the humanitarian principles, because where did really the principles of love thy neighbor come from?
That's right.
It kind of came from the Bible. That's where it all started. But until the Bible, there was no principles of humanitarianism, right?
Remember, humanitarianism is the higher knowledge.
Again, that's an ism. All isms,
right.
You know, fall in with communism, atheism,
sure.
Human secularism. Okay, they're all anti-Christ.
Yeah.
But the idea of taking care, loving, helping your neighbor came from Scripture. So anyway, this Hungarian government paints this picture of how crucial morality and liberty remain for all cultures to thrive. So he was a believer when he observed that Hungarian schools, where children were taught a biblical worldview of morality and social justice, were the schools where the children were thriving academically and behaviorally, couldn't get that word out. They had different school systems. Some were allowed to have this biblical teaching the Bible. Those children, get that, I'm going to repeat that. The schools were thriving. Academic excellence was rising quickly. The behavior was wonderful. Children were behaving, acting well-behaved.
Was any school ever shot up and people killed, executed, whatever you want to call it, before the Ten Commandments were taken out of the school?
No.
That's what I'm saying. Nope.
I didn't find
exactly.
Any. I didn't find any.
Me neither. I've never heard of any, never found any.
Here he is trying to tell people, look, you know, with two-thirds of our public schools have Bible-based materials, we've seen this difference. The student performance, everything is good, good, good. And he was coming over trying to talk to other countries to follow the example. And they all said, oh, we can't do that. We can't, you know.
It's an abomination. It's a travesty. It's whatever you want to call it. And to me, the interesting thing there is that even their own statistics refute everything that they're saying. Their data is against them as well. So they just simply don't present it and don't use it. But we know that when the data is accurately presented, it indicts them.
Right. Well, here we have, think about this. For these there in Hungary were formerly atheistic-run Eastern European nation governments, churches, schools are coming together now, other countries there in this atheistic European Union. They are currently partnering together to provide Bibles to students to teach lessons on Christian values and ethics. Why? They have figured out that this improves behavior, performance, and long-term morale. So now there's about 4.5 million Bibles and Bible-based materials distributed throughout Eastern Europe free of charge, with more planned for 2024 and beyond. And this gentleman said, we're witnessing a miraculous unification among the nations formerly under communism, transcending religious and cultural divides through the religion. Now, he made a point. Do you know what? Last year, Croatia, nearly 80,000 children and teen Bibles were delivered to the public schools for use in the classroom. Even the Republic of North Macedonia received commendations for providing every child in Macedonia, Northern Macedonia, with a Bible. Here's where the gospel seed was first sown by the Apostle Paul. This country had gone far, far from faith, and now even Macedonia is coming back to the Bible. Is this great news? This is fabulous news, and nobody's heard it. I looked all over. Where else is it being told? I couldn't find one other instance of this story being told other than a couple of minor sites like World News Daily.
But you know what was on the news today? Raphael Warnock, was he the senator from Georgia? That's the, I guess what you call a bisexual pro-LGBTQ pastor who's in Congress for the state of Georgia, criticized Trump today for selling and allowing Bibles to be sold.
Yeah, Bibles that... Oh, but see, it also had the Declaration of Independence and the a couple other the Constitution. We can't let the people see things like that. You know, one nation under God, we are endowed by our Creator. You know, all this stuff, and then what the Constitution really says. Well, see, they don't want that out there. They don't want people seeing this stuff if they see it. Oh, remember what Madeleine Murray O'Hare when they took the Ten Commandments out of school? What did the court say? Well, if the children were to see this, then if they saw it, they might read it. If they read it, they might study it. And if they studied it, they might believe it and start doing it. Oh, we can't have that.
No, you can't have that.
No, you can't.
You can't. I mean, it's interesting. That sounds like the tactic they used in Obamacare.
Exactly, but the good news, and I want everybody to hear that again, Europe, places like Macedonia, other places, Eastern Europe, are going back to a foundation based on God's Word. Let's have Eastern Europe be an example to the United States. There's hope. Hope for the nation founded on what? Truth, justice, liberty, all the concepts that what? Originate in the Bible. We could have a renewal in our society if we brought the Bible back to our lives, our homes, and our schools, because That's where they took it out. I've got this chart, Randy. It's got a bunch of different facts, but long story short, when they took Madeline Murray O'Hare, you know, one person started complaining, ended up taking Bibles out of school, prayer out of school. Well, if you look at this graph, a lot of these sins in the nation were kind of a low graph line parallel with the bottom of the graph. All of a sudden, in about the 60s, late 60s, where all this stuff was taken out of school, prayer and Bible, all of a sudden this graph starts going sky high. Things like birth to unwed mothers, drug use, teen suicide, all these different problems went skyrocketing, some 2,000, 3,000% increases from when they took God and the Bible out of school until the year 2000. Some of these problems increased 2 to 3,000%.
Absolutely. I'll tell you something. When I came back here to take care of my mom before she passed, I, for a while there, for 3 years, I was a science and math specialist in the public schools in Cleveland, and we did the bottom quartile. I had the bottom quartile. And do you know that during the course of my life, as a school teacher, I met 3 grandmothers that were under 30. 2 of them were 27. 27-year-old grandmothers.
Grandmothers. Yeah.
So you, if you do the math and you know how life works, I mean, that is like totally outrageous. And at the same time, it's absolutely tragic. It is.
And the fact, what's worse than that, Randy, is the fact you look at these graphs and things that were put out, and all these graphs and charts that I have were based on different government agencies. There was government documented information. So here we have the federal government having a chart showing increases and all this kind of stuff, drug use and crime, youth, you know, killing, stabbings, all this stuff, whatever it was. There was a whole category of it. And yet nobody paid any attention to it. Here, all these government statistics show 2-3,000% increases in all these problems. And now one government official said, wait a minute, it all goes back to, right here when we took God and the Bible out of school. Not one person in government that I could find saw the correlation. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to go cause and effect. 3,000% increase is a big increase. You don't have to be a mathematician to know something very bad happened when they took God out of school, right?
Because that's something times something, not plus. I mean, when you get in 2,000%, what is that? That's 2,100. So it's multiplying. It's not. That's not addition. That's times something. And people don't realize that. But at the same time, you know, every way and every day, we are getting better, according to the humanists.
Yeah, according to the humanists, but the facts speak otherwise.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if somebody noticed it, they sure didn't want to tell people because what? We, the people, don't need to know the truth, do they?
No, and what's sad is that people aren't fighting to know the truth. You know, they know something's wrong. How can you not? You know? How can you not know that something's wrong? I mean,
right,
especially
I
people in our generation, because we saw how it used to be. And it used to be nothing like this. Nothing like this.
Part of it's ignorance. Part of it's apathy. But part of it, I think they're afraid to stand up. They might be called a name, Bible thumpers, whatever they're called today. I've been called so many names, most of them I can't use on the radio. They're afraid of names, and if we won't fight back when they're calling names, what are the people going to do when it starts coming, you know, police knocking at your door telling you you're being arrested because you won't let your son become a girl or because your kid went and prayed at school and you're going to be fined for it or the IRS is going to come after you for, something, the government's coming after you because you spoke up at a PTA, parent-teacher, meeting, school board meeting, I guess nowadays they're
Well, look at China. Look at what China has done and that we're headed towards with the social credits.
Right.
That you will do what we say, or we're going to determine where you work, where your kids go to school, how much money you can have, how far you can travel, and anything else to make your life miserable because you won't conform. If you don't listen to Xi's 20-minute speech every day, it all starts there. I mean, it's unreal. And I'm like, we're certainly using that as a template for the road we're going down.
Exactly. That's what government is trying to do. That's why I'm telling people this is so important. This Resurrection Sunday, God sent us free. He made us free, and now freedom, we have to go out and do something to defend that freedom we've been given, to appreciate the freedom that God gave us, and we have to be willing to stand and witness, testify of Him, testify, you know,
Pastor Joe, we're rolling into that to that bottom of the hour break.
Got it. Okay, let her roll.
All right.
From God's heaven to a manger, from great riches to the poor came the Son of God to seek and save. From the azure halls of heaven to a rough and rugged cross, Jesus came, and here His life for all He gave. Redeeming love, a love that has no limit. Redeeming love, a love that shall not die. My soul shall sing Heavenly Father, to a world that knew Him not, came a man of sorrows, Christ the Lord. In my wandering, Jesus found me, bought my soul with His own blood, gave to me a peace this world could not afford. Redeeming love, a love that has no limit. Redeeming love, a love that shall not die.
Pastor Joe sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders, who's on a little trip this week, and co-hosting with me is the What's Right, What's Left radio ministry deacon, Randy Gay, and we're here to celebrate the Resurrection Sunday, the week after, and we're going to take a look at some very different ways to look at Resurrection Sunday and what's going on with the church. And, Randy, we were kind of showing some of the good, bad things. There was some great news. In fact, I think that story about the Eastern Europe putting Bible into schools, I think that's one we better give and hand out at one of the newsletters. I think
absolutely. Now I'll make a note here. That absolutely for that.
I'll get that to you. That heading, that, a lot of detail there, and put that whole thing out. Now, if you don't think there's really a war going on, one story here: Joe Kovacs, World News Daily. Evil is here. Hundreds of Bibles set on fire near Christian church.
You know, it's funny you brought up something about a war going out. And I think there's something that's going on that the media is either censoring, not covering, or whatever it is. And I happen to have a friend of mine whose son recently got deployed to Turkey.
Mm.
And they just had... they're going through an election over there. Now, I want to know why you have to deploy soldiers to Turkey for an election. And you talk about a war going on, and I didn't like the way that the word was used in his orders that they were deploying him to Turkey.
Mm-hmm. But what are we doing protecting an election in a foreign country when we can't even have an honest election in this country?
That's exactly right. I mean, but to me, just the whole thing, and then to realize that, like, you haven't seen this on the news or anything about, and now I'm wondering how many soldiers got deployed to Turkey.
I don't think I saw anything on that out there. It might be, but I sure didn't see it. And you know me, I'm kind of the researcher for the ministry. I find a lot of stuff, but I didn't see that.
And like I said, I just happened to know that because of that. And it's interesting that I had, because he was over there. His son was in Japan. I won't get into the specifics. And they went to visit him for a month because they went over. His son's been over there for 3 years. So they went there for a month to visit their son, which they did. And now they've been back for like 2 weeks, and now he's being deployed to Turkey. And it was interesting to me that, like, it's like they allowed him to have the past year out of 3 years he was in Japan, the past year with his family, but he can't take his family to Turkey.
No, I wouldn't if they let me.
You see what I'm saying? The whole thing just doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah. Well, to go on with this story, Pastor Greg Locke of Global Vision Bible Church in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, the police are investigating the intentional burning Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, of hundreds of Bibles in a trailer. A man dropped off this, they have security pictures dropping of a man dropping off a trailer in the middle of an intersection there, blocking the road to the church. Set fire to an entire trailer full of Bibles in front of the church. And police came out, and they were able to block traffic, but they couldn't find the drop-off truck. They had it all cleaned up in time to have services, but, you know, just the fact that somebody, that's a lot of, I bought a couple Bibles, and most of them are good Bibles, expensive. And hundreds of Bibles, that's kind of a pretty strong rebellious statement about the church, right?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's definitely aimed at them. That's a message for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely a message. So we got bad news, now I want to jump to good news. Here's Fox News. They'd fallen away, but Fox News introduces sponsored prayers to Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you. Hey, use the name. They finally figured this out over there. Prayers to Jesus. Fox News on Sunday introduced Christian prayers sponsored by a Bible app. We have more Fox and Friends coming up. This is a transition for transitions, and they're blah, 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 saying a lot of different things. But Pete Hegseth was the host that's bringing this up. And he started out, he was talking about the fifth Sunday of Lent, our prayers series continues with the reading of prayers from the Hollow app, the Hello app. We all need it. Let's do this this morning. Close your eyes if you would bow your head. And he went on to pray in the name of Jesus. The prayer started out, Jesus, today we begin the holy period of Passiontide. In the last 2 weeks of Lent, help us to understand the mystery of your sacrifice, surrender. And he went on, I don't need to read his prayer, but it was started off with Jesus. And
that is that, well, that's a big improvement, but you got to wonder what kind of hook is in that gift. I don't think Fox is doing it because they're nice people or being converted.
I don't know. I looked and I couldn't see. There's a video, went to saw it, and they've allowed it to happen. I think there were enough of their people wanted it that I guess management went for it, but we'll see if it lasts. But they've been doing it, I guess, for a while during that Fox and Friends doing some praying. So let's put it this way. They haven't stopped them yet. And let's just hope it continues.
Well, right? Well, you know, a mockery of that is that I saw where the mayor of New York this weekend was baptized in the jailhouse by Al Sharpton. That's a fact.
The word reserved for God alone.
That's exactly right. It says,
Reverend.
Yeah. But I thought that was it. But that, actually, I guess that's kind of appropriate to be baptized in a jailhouse by Al Sharpton.
By a criminal Al.
Yeah, by Al Sharpton.
He extorted more money, told more lies. Yeah, we could go on in that one. That's just too much. I'm looking. I've got three stories ready, just so the people understand where I'm. You know,
how much time, Johnny? Oh, we're good. Oh, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, we're good. All right, one, start out with, teacher prays before school begins and all hell breaks loose. Yep, down in Texas. The American Center for Law and Justice gone to federal court there in Houston, Texas, on behalf of an employee, Stacy Barber of the Katy Independent School District. And she said the school violated her rights to religious expression by prohibiting her from praying when students might be present, even if that prayer occurs off the clock. In other words, she wasn't at work. Now, they've allowed millions of people. Every year we go around the schools. Christians go around, gather around the flagpoles to pray before school starts when they open the schools in the fall. And, you know, there's a standard see you at the prayer, a poll prayer rally all over the country. And so the principals, this lady was praying before school, before you had to be there, and the school, you can't do that. So they're saying, no, the Constitution protects the right of religious employees to pray even in public. They do not lose their constitutional rights just because they are government employees. And they said they'll win this suit. They've had several like it, and they've always won. And but again, you know, the schools kind of try and go after these teachers, and the principal retaliated against this young teacher, starting to say, well, she had an absence where we had to go to a doctor caused by health, and they're, well, if you can't be here every day, we might need a new teacher. You know, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So some people are fighting back. We've got good groups like that defending. And then similar, the American Center for Law and Justice is filing a federal lawsuit. Another school would not let students gather together for prayer, student-led prayer. The coach on the track team said, don't let me see you do that again. They were praying before a track meet. And this is a blatant violation of students' First Amendment rights. And they said they hoped the school would correct this immediately. If not, we're going to, you know, file against you. but the students were instructed that they must not be seen praying together as a group, and they could only engage in a moment of reflection alone in a one or two groups. And again, unconstitutional, wrong. You see, the courts had good rulings on these things, but the liberal school districts, the radical teachers, they figure the students don't know court rulings, and they tell them they can't do stuff. But fortunately, a lot of these people, their parents or somebody smart enough to say no, and they call groups like the American Center for Law and Justice out there, and they have done so much to fight for freedom, our freedom of religion in school. And folks, that's one of the other things. You can go to that American Center for Law and Justice. They have some neat stuff on their website. And they are part of the groups that are fighting back in America, fighting to defend your religious freedom and some pride.
And they have an excellent radio program. They have an excellent radio program. I listen to it at noon every day.
Yeah. So that's something else the listeners can do. I don't mind telling them a good place to go or another person to listen to, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, and they do.
Did you hear about this story? It was in the Daily Wire. There's a big hospital group called the Phoebe Putney Health System. I guess it's a large group. Well, they told the Gideon International that they could no longer hand out their free Bibles to this big Georgia hospital and health group, health system. And the corporation provides health services to hundreds of thousands of people in over 40 Georgia counties.
Oh, wow.
And they hadn't had its Bible, the Wire reported Gideon's hasn't had its Bibles in the system's hospital for months after they had maintained a working relationship for many years. And all of a sudden, somebody up the Gideon's, go back to what, almost 1899, they've handed out well over 2 million billion Bibles, 95 languages, 200 countries, and here just this last, I think it's either the end of 23 or the beginning of 24, this big hospital chain, nope, can't do it anymore. We need people. This is, sounds like another one of those battles. People need to stand up. All of you out there in Georgia, if you're part of that system, you can call in and say, hey, as a, you know, healthcare consumer or potential healthcare consumer, we don't like this. We don't see why people shouldn't have. Remember, what did the liberals say? You have the right to choose, 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 freedom to choose. What do you think, Randy?
Well, you know, I always like to say this about, you know, The right to choose, you got to be careful of, because wasn't that the sin that was actually committed in the garden, the woman's right to choose?
Yeah, well, true. Yeah,
so you know that's something to think about.
Well, that's what I meant. The left is always claiming you have this freedom of choice.
Yeah,
but the choice is only if you choose to do it exactly the way they tell you.
And see, the other thing is that my body, my choice. And,
right.
And see, but Jesus said it was that you were not your own. You were bought with a price.
Right.
So when you get cancer, when you get sick,
right?
When you get fired, then you defend your body. You take care of your body. And when you get ready to die, keep your body alive. Because it's your body.
Well, God said what? We are made in the image of God.
Of God.
So when you destroy a life, you are destroying the image of God, right?
Of God. That's exactly right. But
kind of what happened in Chicago this weekend. Did you hear about Chicago Easter weekend?
No, I didn't, but I'll tell you what, we're entering into 5 minutes.
Okay.
So
that'll work.
Do you want to do it? You want me to do it?
You can take it into. I was just got one thing I wanted to bring out.
Sure, go ahead.
This is what we've become as a nation. Chicago man shot 9 times pumping gas Easter morning as a violent Easter weekend leaves 7 dead. There were 21 reported shootings, 7 dead, many others wounded. one weekend and several on Resurrection Sunday. Folks, we need to keep this nation in prayer. We need to be reminding people that the solution to our problem, the name is Jesus. And we need to be getting our families back to God, back to church. That is what is going to save America. Would you agree with me on that, Randy?
I absolutely agree. I don't think that it's in politics to save America. Because if every man's heart was right, if we were all seeking the truth and trying to follow Christ, then you would be changed. Because you see, if you think about it, that's the sales pitch, so to speak, from God himself, is that you must be born again. It does not lie in man to direct his steps. And we all have blown it. We all have sinned. We all routinely sin. And it, some more, some less. But it only takes one to take you out of the fellowship with God. It only takes one that disqualifies you for heaven. It isn't in a man to direct his way. And
I cut you a little short. You've got 3 minutes to do
it. I got 2 minutes, yeah. So that's why I'm taking this into that now. I'm taking it into that now. That's the whole point. I know that. And that, you know, my time is short on the air, but everybody's time is short in eternity. And the question is, what must I do to be saved? The word is repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that God has raised him from the dead. And my point is that if you believe that, you get the power to do all that in Christ. Jesus pays the penalty for your past, present, and future sins, and you then become changed, born again, which you must change, and then you get equipped being in Christ to make it into heaven. And it is that simple. So if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, which is what this past weekend was about, says thou shalt be saved. And it is that simple. How much time, Johnny?
2 minutes.
Okay. So we got 2 minutes. So let's do this. For those of you who don't know what to say, talk to God like you would anybody else, because he's looking at your heart no matter what you say. You know, Lord, and if something comes to mind, Lord, I confess my sin of anger, bitterness, jealousy, envy, my sin, because sin is a condition. And I want to be saved. I want to obey you. I want to follow you. I want to live in heaven with you and have eternal life now on this earth. And if you believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, that God is raising from the dead, then you'll, and remember that he died for your sins on the cross, and God raised him up, and the resurrection is God's proof that he approved of this man's sacrifice, the man Jesus Christ. So when God raised him up, he raised you up, raised himself up into a new life, and bought that for you. So if you believe that, you have the eternal life now. Praise God, and continue to follow after God. And okay, and follow God. We've got 35 seconds, so I'll leave it with that. It is that simple. It's not rocket science. Be blessed.
The key word is repent, which means do an about-face in your life. You quit running from God, turn toward him, and make him what? Lord of your life, all of your life. And then that he will give you that indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, your down payment on eternal life, right?
That's right. All right, so then I guess we should say it. Good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless you all.
And
always
keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Little home improvement quiz. What improvement will make the biggest difference on the appearance of your home? If your home's looking a little old and worn, you are correct. It is siding. I'm with Bill Gardner of Empire Window Company. You've got a big special going.
Absolutely, and what a great time for siding. Not only are we running 50% off on your whole house project, but this time of year we have every color, style, texture, whether it be shake, scallop, board and batten. We have just about any option you can think of to recreate your house into that dream home you always wanted.
That's awesome, because right now a lot of people aren't buying a home. They just want to fix up the home they're in that they love and make it their dream home.
Why would you move when you could have the house you always wanted at 50% off?
Yes, a beautiful new look. What might be holding some people back? Financing. What can you do?
Yeah, actually, right now we're running no interest, no payment for 24 months.
Let's go. 50% on siding. Oh, with windows, it's a buy two, get two. Empire Window Company, 877-70-EMPIRE.
Empire Window Company, you deserve a fair price.
Tune in to Understanding the Times, a live call-in talk show, now Wednesdays at 8 p.m. It's surely time for a Bible prophecy update. From Russia without love for Ukraine, north of Israel, to China, Taiwan, and the kings of the east, plus Germany and Europe in the west, and Iran's impact of Muslim Africa to the south. Daniel tells us that all prophecy revolves around the Jew and Jerusalem. So join us this Wednesday, 8 p.m., Understanding the Times, with Mike Fodor on 1220 The Word.
This is Dennis Prager, and now a truly exciting new benefit. My monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. For an hour each month, get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. I'll be answering your questions. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work. Work. From ordering to reporting, we even keep your receipts all in one place. Which means all you need to do is sit back and enjoy.
You're not having any lasagna?
All I can taste is hours of expense reports.
Relax, you used Easy Cater. Enjoy the food, Ray.
Oh, no, thanks. That's...
Enjoy it?
Amazing.
Yes, Ray, it is amazing. 100,000 restaurants and everything you need to make food for work, work. Order 24/7 at easycater.com.
Three little words no parent wants to hear.
My tummy hurts.
And it always seems to happen at the worst times. Like in the middle of the morning rush, when you still have homework to check and lunches to pack, and of course, you're already late for work. Luckily, there's Pepto-Kids. Pepto-Kids gummies help relieve occasional stomach upsets, turning those three words into these three words.
I feel better.
Bad time for stomach upsets? Good time for Pepto-Kids gummies. Fast support for little tummies.
These statements have not been evaluated by the...